It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. It's the 26th of July. May God bless you. God is so good to us, and we're thankful that we can come to him. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to Jesus in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. We ask that your spirit would be with us as we open up your word. We pray that you would anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, help us to grow in grace and in wisdom as we draw close to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends. It's time now for our opening song. That will be I Will Trust. Sorry, it's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. Lift up your head. Redemption is nigh. Let glad alleluia mount up to the sky. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
Amen. We're studying Exodus chapter 10, Let My People Go, this is about the locust. The locust. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we study the locust, we pray for the Spirit of God to speak to us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son, what thing I have wrought in Egypt. Now let's think about that for example. Well, let me finish the verse. And my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. That was verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 10. My brothers and sisters, we go through a lot of things. We go through challenges, trials, tribulations, and sometimes we complain. Sometimes we think, why me? And we don't realize that God has brought the test so that you can have a testimony, okay? He brings on a test that you might have a testimony. If we don't have anything to pray about, we wouldn't get on our knees. So the devil is in the world. He brings adversity. He works through the enemies of the Lord to hurt God's people. And we have to humble ourselves and just stay in God's will. Yes, we have sinned, and the devil will remind us of our sins all the time. But brothers and sisters, the reality is that we're saved by grace. We're not saved by doing right. We're saved by grace through faith, but saved people do what is right. That's how it works, friends. That's the science of this part of the gospel. Saved people do what is right. So if you don't do what is right, you are showing evidence that God is not the Lord of your life. And you're not going to be in heaven if he's not the Lord of your life. But doing what is right does not save you. Therefore, the devil's argument that you haven't always done what is right is a mute point. And you can tell him, get thee behind me, Satan, for I am saved by grace through faith, that not of myself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8. And so we want to also talk about Pharaoh was told, you refuse to humble yourself. Now, brothers and sisters, when I was growing up in the church, we used to sing a song. It went like this. Humble me, O Lord. Humble me and let me do thy will. We didn't know what we were singing. We were just taught that by the grown-ups. Brothers and sisters, do you know that the Lord tells us we should humble ourselves? There's not a scripture in the Bible where God says, ask God to humble you. You don't want God to humble you. You want to humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, God will humble you, brothers and sisters. But when God humbles you, you might eat grass like an animal like Nebuchadnezzar. You might lose all of your crops and your water turned to blood and have lice and have flies all over the place like Pharaoh. And then eventually, we haven't gotten there yet, but something very close to Pharaoh is going to die. That he's going to let God's people go. We need to humble ourselves, my brothers and sisters. We are not going to heaven if we are not humble. Not only are we humble to be humble, we are to be meek. And meek is the ultimate test of humility. You see, you can be humble, like maybe you weren't recognized and you might tend to want to feel bad because they didn't recognize you and the Lord impresses you. Just humble yourself. You know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up, the Bible says. And so you humble yourself. But that's not really an adversity. Meekness is when you practice humility and you're under fire. I mean, people are mistreating you and taking stuff from you and doing things to you, and you still have a humble spirit. That's meekness, brothers and sisters. And we can't be meek unless we're first humble. Then that humility will be under fire. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Bible said, blessed are the meek. They're blessed. So I am here to tell you that we are not to ask God to humble us. That's potentially a death sentence. That's losing everything. That's Now, we're going to lose things. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasure is laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The point is that we are to humble ourselves. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That's what's wrong with marriages today. Both parties are not humbling themselves. If you have two people at odds with each other that will humble themselves, they will get rid of their challenges within 5 minutes. Do you know that? That's right, my friend. There's a beautiful statement. I'll see if I can find it for you. I may not be able to, but I may be able to. Let's see if the Lord blesses me to be able to find it. Got to type 5 correctly in my notes here. All right. Praise God. And this reference is Proverbs 13:10. It says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. That means if you have controversy, there's either only a few options. Either when two people are at odds, either one person has pride, both of them have pride, and that's the only two options, because only by pride cometh contention. So when we have contention, there's pride. So just understand that the Bible is full of powerful principles, brothers and sisters. Only by pride cometh contention. Notice what it says in this verse, this not verse, but this quotation. It's from early writings, page 119. It says, if pride and selfishness were laid aside, 5 minutes would remove most difficulties. Angels have been grieved and God displeased by the hours which have been spent in justifying self. Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't need to justify ourselves. Just live for Jesus, my friend, and God will bless you. Only by pride cometh contention. So I just want to dwell on this verse that says he refused to humble himself. Don't be like that, friend. Humble yourself, and then God won't have to humble you. Else, if thou refuse, verse 5, to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. They shall eat the residue of that which is escaped. You see, friends, there had been a lot of devastation already, hail and flies and frogs and these kinds of things, but there were some things left, and now the locusts would finish it off. Escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy father's fathers have seen, since the day they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto him? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Now, we have to understand something. God wants to keep the family together. The devil wants to separate the family. And sometimes when we get a little reprieve, but that reprieve separates the family, we sometimes think that's a good thing, and we compromise. And we say, well, if we do this, then the father's over here, but the children are left behind. If we do this over here, the mothers are over here, but the father and the children are left behind. You know, sometimes we make compromises in certain situations, brothers and sisters, because we don't have enough faith. And we say, well, at least they let some of us go, and let's go, because some of us can go. If, you know, and we need to understand the spiritual ramification of some of the decisions that we make. You have to sacrifice, brothers and sisters, to keep your family together. Sometimes, you know, we live in a society where we want to make the most money we can make, and so we want both parents to be working, and so we leave the children to go to public school. When if one of the parents stayed or the mother stayed home, they would be able to be all right. They just wouldn't be able to live as high as they live, but the children would have Jesus taught to them all day long rather than them going and facing LGBT curriculums and other false teachings in schools, brothers and sisters. And so this is teaching us that we have to make decisions that are for our best spiritual interest and the spiritual interest of our families. They could have said, okay, hey, guess what? Look, at least he's letting some of us go. He's letting the men go. Let's go ahead and go. No. And you leave your family behind and for them to be overcome by the Egyptians. Brothers and sisters, we have to make sacrifices, and in those sacrifices, we keep the family together. You know, my friends, we see sometimes people who, you know, turn their children over to the state because things aren't going quite right. You need to keep your children at home. Doesn't matter. They might have autism. They might have this. They might have that challenge. God gave them to you. I lent them to you, and you ought to be responsible, and he will not bless you. We know of situations where people want to get married, so they let their children go out of the house and don't take care of their spiritual interests and have worship with them and lead them and guide them. They're just yelling at them and screaming at them, and they don't take interest in their lives. So, and then the children just go on about them. They're fine with that, so they can go find a husband or find a wife. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you're not going to find a good one. You might find something out there, but it's not going to be good because you did not prize spiritual interest. That was not the highest priority. Our spiritual walk should be the highest priority, and the spiritual walk of our family, then it just branches out to the spiritual walk of the church. Then we ought to help everybody else we meet with their spiritual walk, my friends. That's what this is all about. So we need to understand how important it is to keep Christ as the center of our lives and in our homes, my friends. All right, let's read on. It says, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, now watch Pharaoh act like he cares about the children of Israel. See, the devil will do that. He will give you compromises even from the enemy, and the enemy will seem like he's doing your good. Hitler made the Jews think that he had their good interest, and when they first left, he showed them propaganda of nice places that they were going to go to, and they were going to gas chambers, brothers and sisters. In slavery, they would teach people who were enslaved, black people during the slavery of the United States, that what was happening to them was good for them, and so on and so forth. Let my people go, it says, and he said unto them, let the Lord be so. This is Pharaoh talking. Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, meaning I wouldn't let you do that, and evil come upon your children. This is Pharaoh talking. Pharaoh didn't care about those children. He wanted slaves. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. So sometimes the devil will give you compromising themes and make it seem like he cares about your family and your well-being. The devil cares nothing about you. He cares about himself. He's the ultimate narcissist, my friends. And those of you who choose to serve him, you don't even realize you're serving somebody that hates your guts. He's just using you. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought locusts. When the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt, very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. You know, I want to bring out a point. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. Brothers and sisters, some people don't believe we're living in the last days. When have you seen in modern era a pandemic that we have seen that caused businesses to close and schools to close and all of that? What does it say? Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. Now I'm here to tell you this. I'm not saying COVID-19 is the worst pandemic, because I believe there's worse ones coming. Okay? But the point is that If anybody questions whether we're living in the last days, we see weather patterns we have never seen before in Earth's history. We see levels of violence, gun violence and other violence like we have never seen before. And my friends, if you don't wake up, because Jesus is coming soon, this is all going to lead to a final test where you will have either the seal of the living God in your life, or you're going to have the mark of the beast. Now, what some people say, okay, well, if they find out that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship enforced, because that's what it is according to the book of Revelation, they will say, okay, when that time comes, then I'll change. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you a little something about that mindset. Prosperity multiplies a mass of professors. Adversity purges them out of the church. It will not be easier for you to give your heart to God when the crisis comes. It will be harder for you to do when the crisis comes. So the Bible says that, well, let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I'll be able to find this one. I'll do my best. It's in the book of Jeremiah. Let me see. Let me see if I can find it. There's a principle. You can find the principle in Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least, before the great times of persecution and everything, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. So now's the time that if you see God speaking on any subject, go with God, my friends. Go with his plan. That's always the safest plan. When things get rough and things get tough and the world closes down and there's rioting in the streets and the faithful people are considered terrorists, okay? That's where it's coming to. You're considered anti-constitutional. I mean, you're considered violating people's civil rights just because you believe Adam and Eve is the plan, not Adam and Steve. That's, if we can't handle this, what are we going to do? When it gets worse, my friend. All right, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Listen carefully. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? My friends, it is now that we are to make a total surrender and be in God's perfect will. Act like you're in heaven. What would you be doing in heaven, my friend? In heaven, you wouldn't be teaching error. You wouldn't have a combination of good and error in your life. You wouldn't tolerate a little bit of error in your life and still follow the truth, but know that you're also involved with error in heaven. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't try to promote Adam and Steve in heaven. Adam and Steve aren't going to heaven. I'm not saying there's no Adams going or no Steves going, but there will be no homosexual people in heaven, brothers and sisters. There won't be any marriage or given in marriage in heaven. So, but what I'm saying to you is that is a sin, okay? I'm just talking about the popular things. Brothers and sisters, there's not going to be any rich people that are oppressing the poor or just holding on to their money and not being a blessing to those less fortunate. They're not going to make it in heaven. There won't be any fornication in heaven, my brothers and sisters. And so if we can't keep our pants zipped up or our clothes on at the proper time, we're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, brothers and sisters. Guess what? There's not going to be any gossiping and backbiting in heaven. If your brother is in a fault, the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. My brothers and sisters, when people mess up, or we think they mess up, what we do is we judge them. We don't take a humble position to say, wait a minute, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to leave this in the hands of God. And we just won't speak to them ever again in life. That's how we are. And we're not going to heaven because Jesus goes out to seek the lost sheep and the 99, to bring them back to the 99. Oh, my brothers and sisters, sometimes the Lord allows adversity to come upon you so you see the true nature of the people who claim to be your friends. They're not your friends. They're not your family. They're of the devil, my friends, because they are gossiping, backbiting, judging, accusing, and taking up a reproach, listening to evil reports without really doing what they can do to see if they're even correct. And we have this kind of thing in the church, my friend. So God wants people with clean hands and pure hearts, my friends. That's what God wants. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously. Let me go back to Exodus. Okay, we already got it. So that was the point, that if we can't handle the footmen, how are we going to deal with horses? And if we can't live right in a time of peace, what are we going to do when the Jordan swells? So the bottom line, God is trying to tell us, my friends, that we need to make sure that we are following Jesus today. And as we follow Jesus today, then we will be able to follow Jesus when times get rough. It's going to get rougher. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be famine. There will not be food in the stores. There's going to be major challenges and rioting and all of these types of things. And those who have followed Christ and done some things to prepare will be able to make it through. And God will get the sincere who want to be out of the wicked cities. It's not going to be safe. Now, I'm not trying to say we don't have evangelistic work to do. I'm talking about where you raise your children. I'm talking about where you live at this present time. Are you surrounded by evil so much so that you better make sure you lock your door and you're concerned about, can I make it to my car from my house, to my car? Brothers and sisters, there is evil everywhere. We're not trying to say that there's a place where the devil is not, but the crime rate in the packed cities packed with people, is much, much, much higher than in the rural areas, my dear brothers and sisters. And God wants us to live in a more safe environment where we can look up and actually see the stars. And they're not so, the skies aren't so full of pollution and street lights are so much that it blocks the stars of heaven. You can't even see them at night, friends. So the Lord is good. Let's say, it says, for they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees nor in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt, Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea, and there remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Now, we've read many times where Pharaoh hardened his heart. So, again, God brought the miracle. It brought Pharaoh to a decision. And that is how it can be said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he brings you to decisions. What will you do when God brings decisions? Are you going to have a hard heart, my brothers and sisters? Or are you going to have a soft heart and allow the Lord to use you? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward the heaven, that there be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if I've experienced darkness that may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. So Pharaoh is compromising. Okay, now you can let all your family go, but I want you to keep the flocks and herds. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings. You see, this is a symbol of the fact that, the importance of worship. Now, they worship with burnt offerings and that kind of thing because that's what was required of them at that time because they pointed forward to Jesus Christ and he hadn't come yet. So what we must understand is that God is here trying to help us understand it's not just important for us to make it out alive. It's important for us to make sure that our worship is authentic, okay, that we can have authentic worship. Pharaoh would let them go. A lot of people say, okay, we can go, but if we go here, we can't have worship. If we go to this school, we can at least get in and we got a scholarship, but you can't have worship. You can't talk about Jesus, you see. And so, my friend, Christians should be very hesitant to go anywhere where they can't, where there's some law or rule against talking about Jesus. You know, you can't, as a teacher, just talk about Jesus in the classroom. Maybe God has a church school he wants you to start or some other place that you can use your educational attainment to lift up Jesus, my friend. And so we have to recognize that the devil will help us, cause us to compromise and get into situations where we can't uplift Jesus the way we feel led to uplift him. So let's just take that under advisement and pray and seek God about everything. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto them, get ye from me, take heed to thyself. See my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. I believe we have one more plague, and we'll talk about that on tomorrow by the grace of God, my friends. And so, again, Moses was called by God to deal with this issue with Pharaoh. There's Pharaohs in your life, people that are manipulative, controlling, and try to keep you from serving God the way you should. There are people that don't want you to, even in your own family, that don't want you to keep the Sabbath. They don't want you to believe as you want to believe. Don't want you to dress modestly. Don't want you to eat right. There are Pharaohs in your life, my brothers and sisters, and God is telling those Pharaohs, let my people go that they may serve me. Now, you, if you're God's people, if you have the choice to do what is right, you do what is right. They were enslaved, and so they were under the yoke of Pharaoh. God had to use other tactics and cause them to let his people go. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. Let's walk with Jesus today on this Wednesday, the 26th of July. This is our day of fasting and prayer. We invite you to do some fasting and prayer today, even much more so than normal, that we might in this midweek have a recharge of our spiritual walk, okay? God is good. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today, that your Holy Spirit will fill us. Use us, Lord, as only you can. We thank you for you are a great God and a God of gods and a Lord of lords. We thank you for all your mercies and kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, my brothers and sisters, it's time now to transition to wellness with the worship and wellness broadcast. We do so with the Torso Psalm. We'll be back after an 8-minute intermission.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants if your health is so-so. You might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can't stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Our health topic today is entitled, Why Should I Exercise? Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Why should I exercise? Your body needs exercise. It really does. The old saying, use it or lose it, applies directly to bones and muscles. If you dread the thought of beginning a regular exercise regimen, here are some good reasons to change your mind. Improve mood and mental performance. Reduced stress levels. Increased energy and vitality. Improved sleep. Weight maintenance or weight loss. Improve sugar metabolism and reduce blood sugar levels. A reduction in unhealthy body fat and an increase in healthy lean muscle mass. Improve flexibility in the spine and joints. Improve skin quality and texture. Improved self-esteem. Exercise is an essential part of the pure foods lifestyle, helping to promote strong bones, supple joints, and powerful muscles. Exercise complements all the good work you are doing with your diet to benefit both your body and your mind. As you exercise, every cell in your body will thank you. This morning's health segment is coming from a book called Clean Up Your Diet, page 214 to 215. May God bless you as you continue to move and have a wonderful exercising day today.
Amen. Amen. Roll call time. On Facebook, we have South Carolina and Virginia on the call. On Facebook, that is. On our call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, 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 and Delaware again. We have Oklahoma, we have Iowa, and we have Georgia. Phone lines are open. As it relates to anything on Facebook, we have a from Salita, good morning to everyone, and we thank her for that. Good morning, dear sister. And the phone lines are open. We've got 15 minutes to the top of the hour. If anyone has anything you'd like to share, press star 6. We'd love to hear from you. This is our day of fasting and prayer. Fasting is good, friends, and we should at least fast one day a week. It's just good to take a physical break, even if you just skip a meal. Those of you who eat two meals a day, skipping one meal, is skipping breakfast or skipping lunch, you know, it just gives that digestive system a rest so it can kind of reboot and strengthen itself. You know, we do need to be able to live and say, hey, I'm a little hungry. It's all right to be hungry, friends. That's not the end of the world. Your food will come, but it really does a lot for your body to give it a rest and allow the eliminative processes to catch up, because we keep putting the toxins in and they don't always have time to get out. Fasting is good, and it keeps your mind clear and allows you to think. Now, if you have headaches and stuff like that, you have hypoglycemia if you fast, and you need to correct that by making sure you get rid of sugary foods, especially the wrong kind of sugary foods. But you can retrain your body by eating vegetable meals when you eat your meals, and don't take anything in sweet for a while, and you can retrain your body so that you can overcome that hypoglycemia. Make sure you eat plenty of whole grains that bring the sugar into your bloodstream in little amounts at a time, as opposed to these concentrated sugars, and that will help you a lot. Low blood sugar is related to chronic fatigue. It's related to a lot of other conditions, allergies, asthma, those types of things. All right, my friends, God is good. There is no one in the queue. We'll go ahead and close out with prayer. If my wife has any comments, she knows always she's welcome to make them, but we'll turn it over to her at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for allowing us to be able to come together and hear your word, Lord. We pray that your spirit will continue to abide with us throughout this day. And we ask for special blessings to be granted to all for healing, spiritually, mentally, and physically. And we ask that we can do all we can, Lord, by the desire, the willpower, and the strength to be able to co-labor with you and the efforts of obedience and being able to help in bringing your harvest into a full fruition. Let us do all we can to serve you faithfully. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our closing song is "I Will Trust in the Lord." Before closing song, we'd like to give our final salutation. "But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lambs with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life."
Therefore, we do our part in faith. God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen.
I will trust in